It's going, do it again, do it again. I'm like, do it again, do it again. I mean, I know y'all couldn't hear me saying that, right? Hey, y'all give the band another big round of applause. Can you get that? Oh, wow, I can hear now. That's pretty good right there. Well, welcome. Make sure, where am I? I tell y'all what, I don't know about y'all, that's twice I've already had church this morning. Amen. Ooh, the Spirit of God is strong this morning. The Holy Spirit, wow. We had practice this morning, and we all got through with rehearsal and goes, well, we're done. We had church. I'm telling y'all, if that don't move you, then your feet stuck in the concrete or something. My Lord. Well, welcome. We're Williamson County Cowboy Church. I am not the pastor. I'm the music director, I guess you'd say, but I'm a minister here, and I minister. There's some people we may have to have the ushers tend to here in a minute. But anyway, my name's Ricky Bowen, and I kind of feel I haven't been here in a couple of weeks. I've been on the road, and so it's awesome to be back here with everybody, and the floors, y'all. How about the floors? Don't they look good? There's a few spots they have to come back and touch up, but that's okay. Man, it's been a long time coming, and they sure look good, don't they? And we're proud to have them. So, but again, welcome to Cowboy Church. If you're new here for the first time, and we don't make you do anything special about being here for the first time. You don't, as I always say, we don't make you get up and do the hokey pokey or anything. We just like to acknowledge you that you chose to come here and give us a try, and because we like to welcome you as a church. So when you came in, they should have given you a visitor's packet that has a card in there. If you would, fill it out for us, and in a few minutes during tithes and offerings, if you don't mind putting it in the buckets, we'd appreciate it. In the bucket over here or over there. And that way, if somebody will give you a call, they'll only call you one time, and they'll just check on you to see, you know, what we can do for you, if we can pray for you. If you want to know more about the church, they'll tell you about what our vision is. Our vision is to get people saved. First and foremost, our pastor says that we get people saved. That's our job as a church. And then we go from there. Then we'll grow you up. So we're glad to have you. If you are first timers here, we just want you right where you're at. If you would, when I count to three, just hold your hand up, and we're going to welcome you as a church. One, two, three. Hold your hand up. Yeah, we got some over here, back there. Yeah. Come on, church. Yeah. One of the biggest things that I hear, because we do travel and we run into people that have just come through and seen the church in other towns, and they go, man, y'all are the friendliest place we've ever been. They said, we didn't know church was that friendly. I said, well, our church is. Amen? I've had experiences just like everybody else, but we want you to know that you knew folks that have chosen to come see us. We're glad you're here. And we preach the word here. We don't have a doctrine here. We preach is what's in this. We either believe it all or we don't believe any of it. Amen? I had a pastor one time in West Texas that I was in the band. It was a cowboy church. He was a great pastor. He was a great minister, wasn't he, Sharon? And he said one time, this isn't Golden Corral. This is not a smorgasbord. You can't choose what you want and what you don't want. Well, here at Williamson County Cowboy Church, I guarantee you we choose it all. Amen? All right, give the Lord a hand this morning. Well, I got some announcements to make, so I'm going to do those real fast and go ahead and get those out of the way. So this Tuesday, the prophet's coming, and that's something that we encourage that we support our prophets, because there are, as I call them, I mean, that's probably, it's more cowboy vernacular, I guess, than King James, but he's legit. Okay? Because it says in the end times there will be false prophets, y'all. And if you're watching the news or you're watching other people, man, if you don't know that you can see the junk that's going on, then, man, you might ought to start praying a little harder about what you're supposed to believe and what you're not supposed to believe. But we do support prophets, and this guy is legit, because a prophet should be edifying to you. A prophet should not tell you that, oh, next week you're going to break your leg. or that's not real edifying, is it? No, that was a bad example probably, but it just came to me, you know. But that would be not right for a prophet to tell you, oh, you're going to run into some bad trouble next week, you know. A prophet edifies you and builds you up in the name of Jesus. So if you get a chance to please join us on Tuesday night, the prophet will be right here. Fellowship 6:30. He starts at 7 o'clock. And he's a musical prophet. So man, he plays and sings on the spot. And as a musician, it's amazing that he does this right on the spot. Okay? God's given him this, and he's actually ministering to folks right on the spot. So most people may have think that, he's already made this up or whatever. You know, he's come up with this earlier in practice. No, no, no. He does it on the spot. And that's hearing from God. Amen? So y'all be sure and make it Tuesday night if you can. Also, Vacation Bible School will be all you parents better write this down if you hadn't. June the 21st through the 24th from 6:30 to 8 in the evening. Dinner is served. Okay? So, that's what it says right here. You can sign up with Mary in the back if you want to sign your kids up. It's a great time. Mary and her folks, man, they do an awesome, awesome job in preparing the kids. Right. I said that, didn't I? Y'all excuse me, it's a private conversation between me and my wife here. I said the prophet's coming Tuesday night. There's no... As usual, I'm still cute. Now, if y'all missed that message, go Google it and you'll see that, you know, even though I'm wrong, I'm still cute. It's the... Never mind, y'all. She was reminding me that during vacation Bible study, vacation Bible school, there is no Bible study that Tuesday night. Yeah, that's your fault, Heidi, because you didn't write it down for me. Amen. Sorry about that, y'all. So I think that's all I've got for now. Here at Williamson County Cowboy Church, again, for you visitors, one thing that we do here, you can go ahead, guys, is that we teach on tithes and offerings. A lot of churches don't do that, but our pastor and his wife here at our church do not take a salary. At this church, they just believe in the Lord for Him providing, because that's what we teach. And this way we can teach on finances that you put all your trust in the Lord. He is our provider, not the world is our provider. So that's what we teach here. So when we learn how to operate in the world economy, we learn that we don't want to do that. We learn that it's good to operate and invest in the stock market, but that's not where you want to put all your eggs. Amen? Because if you're doing what God tells you to do, He's going to guide you where to put your finances. And we're fixing to learn why. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll be there in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Say amen if you're there. Say oh my if you're not. I heard somebody beat me to it. Say oh my. Oh my. All right, in 2 Corinthians 9, we can start at verse 6. That's not really where I'm mainly focused on. And I've ministered this tithe message before in verse 6 because it brings back old memories of Ricky not being a cheerful giver years ago. You know? It was like somebody dragging that check out of my hand. It's like, oh, golly, I gotta give again. So in verse 6 it said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully fully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, God doesn't want you to feel like you have to give. He wants you to give. I mean, when we start learning that everything that we have is God's anyway, You know, and I hear so many people, man, I'm self-made. Do what? Did you really say that? I'm self-made. Well, if you go back to the very beginning, you didn't make yourself anyway. And hello? But you see what I'm saying is that whatever we have, whatever we've earned, it's because of God. And when we learn how to use that, then we understand that it's easier to give. He doesn't want that. If you're not good with it, then don't do it. Now, there's some preachers or pastors who go, "Ooh, don't say that." No, but it's the truth. It's better to give for the right reason, y'all. Verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Right here, God's telling us He wants to make sure that we have everything that we need. Well, I don't know about y'all, but does your boss ever ask you if you have a job? Does your boss ever ask you, do you need anything at the house? I mean, like, you got enough TP during the... Sorry. It just came out. I don't know. Y'all know me. Do you have enough this? Your boss doesn't ever ask you that, does he? Now, there might be a few. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, because your boss may be one of those that... But most bosses don't go, no. But guess what? God does. God cares. Even about those little things, okay? He cares if you've got all your needs met. Amen? Verse 9. We're getting where I'm going. "As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Oh, now here's where I was going. Now that he that ministereth us seed to the sower, God gives us. See, this is why ain't God so good? Because we're sowing seed, and God's the one that's given it the seed to sow. But most people don't get that. Most people go, "Oh, it's my money." Well, yes and no. I mean, you got it in your hand. I mean, they say nine tenths is possession, whatever, you know. It's yours. But it's God's. And God's providing that for us to sow. He's sowing it in us so that we can sow to someone. Now listen, though. "Both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown." Not only is He providing the seed, y'all, that you're sowing, what did it just say? He'll multiply it. Everybody say multiply. Multiply. Part of you said it. So everybody say multiply. Multiply. Don't you want to be your seed to be multiplied? What an awesome God. I mean, if you get nothing else, He provides the seed to sow, and then He multiplies the seed that you sow. Don't stop reading there. "And increase the fruits of your righteousness." Whoa, Jesus. What a God we serve. Amen. Man can't do it for you, but God can. About a month ago, I had lunch with the guy, and this is an example, okay, y'all. I don't pat myself on the back, but a man needed some. I gave him $100 at lunch. That afternoon, somebody gave me $200. Now you can't, and believe me, if you tell me it's a coincidence, Jesus, I don't believe in coincidences. But it's because I operate in God's economy, and I have been for a while now. But it takes a while. You can't just do it and then go, "Well, it ain't working," after a month or two or three or four. Because if you hadn't been tithing for 5 or 6 years or 10 years, it takes a little bit to start establishing that. See, God wants your obedience. That's all He wants. He wants your obedience. He doesn't want your money. Okay? Amen. So with a big round of applause, I want you to come give this morning in each of these buckets. Man, we're missing somebody on this side. We got the whole crew on this side today. All right, good job. Give the kids a hand for helping out. They do that every week. Usually we have some, I guess it's, you know, it's summertime too, so a lot of people start traveling in the summertime with the kids, but we usually have as many over here taking, I don't know, I guess we're just cut back today. Hey, right now, if you would, stretch out your hands. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the people that are givers, Father God. We cause this to come back to them 30, 60, and 100 fold, Father God. We just thank you for the seed sown. And your word says that you multiply the seed sown, Father God. And we thank you for that and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to do, y'all go ahead. We're going to do communion this morning because we do that once a month here at Cowboy Church. It's something that we don't take lightly. That communion is something that we start each month with. And it's something that when you talk about communion, if you look communion up, it says that communion is fellowship. But communion is more than that. Communion is that what Jesus did for us. I mean, he went through some stuff. You know, and we say stuff lightly. You know, I mean, for us, yeah, he went through some stuff. You know, when I was studying this week for my message, I came across something that was really interesting. And they were talking about that if you go back in time and you see not what Jesus just suffered through, but what the Christians went through. And we think we got it bad. Amen? Because if you go back and see what the Christians, how they were done. I mean, it was talking about things that we don't stop and think about. They were beheaded. I mean, we see that in foreign country. But where we're at, you don't see that. They talked about, you don't see people thrown to the lions either and fed. Stuff that Christians got put through that we don't get put through, y'all. All because of our Jesus. All because of my Jesus. You see, he loved us and he was willing to die for us. And in Corinthians in 11, chapter 11, it tells us, I think it's 28, because it always, when I do communion, you know, growing up as a kid in communion, and that's why we have the kids in here now, is to understand what communion really is. Because when I was a kid, communion was just, we got some juice and a cracker. Right? And then as a kid, I always remember I never got enough juice to wash the cracker down. But that's not what it's about. And so in 2 Corinthians, it talks about that this is a time for self-examination. That during, when you take communion, it's not about everybody else. It is fellowship, we do it. But it's about you, and it's about you. And you, what, examine yourself. It's that time that we look at Jesus and say, oh, thank you. Thank you that you took that beating. That you were nailed to that cross. And that you bled for me. That you took the beating for me. Because if that doesn't put it into perspective, y'all, I don't know what does. My Lord. To be hung there like that. And to die for me. Whew, man. Praise you, Father. Because you see, God gave his only son for us. To go through all of that. Because he cares about Reuben and John and Starla. And he cares about everybody. Individually. See, we have to look at that. So today, before we eat, let's just take a minute. Father, I thank you. Huh. We just thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you love us. It's not past tense, Father. We thank you that you still love us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us. That you allowed his body to be broken And that He shed His blood because You loved us so much. And that He went through with it, Father God, for us. And if there's anything in my heart, Father, just show me. Show me what I need to fix, Father God. We just praise You and love You in Jesus' mighty name. Y'all can eat and drink. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. I'd throw it from here, but I'd probably hit you in the chest instead of the bucket. Oh, man. What a way to start the month. Amen? Yeah. Now, are the kiddos all going out today? Thank y'all for all they are. All right. All right. On the count of three, we're going to dismiss kids and youth, but don't run. You too, Rusty. One, two, three. You're dismissed. Woo, y'all ready? Man, I'm ready. I'm fine. Y'all know me, I don't get wound up too much. I stay pretty calm. That's right. But today I'm feeling excited, so it could be. You never know. You never know. I preached for Corey back in April in San Angelo at the PRCA rodeo there. And I preached a little bit. I mean, because when you do those rodeo messages, that you have this amount of time and you got to be out because they're fixing to have a performance where you're at. So you have to adjust your sermon to the time, because that's one thing that Corey, my spiritual father, is about, is time. And so that's what we do. So it was a short message, but as I was praying and believing about what I was supposed to minister this week, God took that message and went poof and blew that sucker up. I mean, it ain't no little message, y'all. Hope you brought lunch. Yeah, I'm kidding. But you know, what God put on my heart, and He's shown me a lot of things, because in the last little over a year, I don't know about y'all, if your world's been like mine, but I've been through a lot. Pandemic, election, we won't go there today. Snowdemic, haildemic, and we just got through with flooddemic. I ought to get an amen for that. Come on. But have y'all not? Well, I know if you live where Rusty does, you don't see much water. But if you live in this area, the best thing you've seen in this while is that sunshine. Amen? So if you stop and think about what we've been through, even as Christians, and what we just talked about with Jesus and communion, you could still get a little anxious. Amen? I mean, it could get you wound up. Oh, I hear this. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, it's done this now, or it's done this, or I haven't been able to work in 2 or 3 weeks, or we just talk. God's our provider. Amen? I've even heard, and I probably said it lately, but I wish Jesus would just hurry up and come back. You know? Now, that's not really... I mean, it's okay for us to say, you know what I mean? I don't mean it in a bad way, but why are we trying to hurry that? That's flesh, y'all. I mean, and God showed me that, because like I said, I've said it probably the last 2 weeks. That's probably why God has me doing this. Because I heard a minister say one time that we are here for this appointed time. Thank you, Rusty Feltz. Great. That was a great sermon. I am here for this appointed time. You know, and this morning at 4:30, I'm studying and I'm reading, and God expanded that Because it's something that he had showed Rusty is, he picked you and you and you and you and all of us to be here for this appointed time. If God appointed us for this time, he must think that we can handle it, doesn't he? So if he chose us for this appointed time and he put us in this place, then you know what happens? We should puff our chest out a little bit. We should quit sitting around and going, I wish Jesus would hurry up. Well, you know that. I mean, we all look forward to that, right? I mean, amen. Because that's what we want. That's our ultimate goal. I mean, you know, and if my wife tells me that either she goes first or Jesus is coming back because I don't get to go first. That's pressure. I mean, come on. You know what I'm saying? But we should be, as Christians, and I know we've taken, and we haven't taken a beating, you know, but it's been a rough little over a year. But I don't know about y'all, we've been blessed. My Lord, God has just poured out his blessing. Even things that have happened to you individually, and I mean, you have been blessed. And at the time, it didn't really seem like a blessing, did it? Amen? I mean, what God's putting us through is that, and I said that wrong. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the correction. God's not putting us through this. Once we get there, he's allowing us to go through it. Amen? And that's one of the things we're going to look at today. We can be tempted to be impatient. Amen? Now, if I step on toes today, it's God, not me. Amen? We just like hurry up Jesus. That's being impatient. Because as Rusty said, we are here for this appointed time. God chose us. He knew what was going to go on, and he picked each, he handpicked, y'all stop and think about that. He handpicked each and every one of us to be here for this very time. Now, if he did that, that's pretty big confidence, y'all. God's going, I can trust these people. I can trust these people to keep my word, to promote my word, to tell people my word. I read a story about the guy that, I wrote his name down so I wouldn't forget it. His name is Gutzon Borglum. Anybody know who he is? One person does. Well, that's impressive. Hey, two people do. He's the one that carved Mount Rushmore. Now, after he got through carving Mount Rushmore, somebody asked him, so, is it perfect? Is it just the way you wanted it? And he said, you know what? He said, George Washington's nose is an inch longer than what I intended it to be. But his response was, in 10,000 years, the erosion will affect it and it'll be where it's supposed to be. Now, that's funny, but yet, stop and think about it, y'all. Why don't we learn to have that kind of thought? That, you know what? I did what my appointed time was to do. I carved that. But yet it didn't come out just exactly right. But in 10,000 years, it'll be just like it's supposed to be. We have to learn to have that kind of patience. Amen? All right, y'all turn to, we're going to start in, where are we going to start? Y'all be finding Hebrews. We all title our message, and so this one. Y'all remember Happy Days, the show with Fonzie? He couldn't say a word. He couldn't say, I'm wrong, you know, or wrong. You know, there's always a bad word. People have a bad. So I just call this the P word, because patience is not a nice word for some people. I'm telling you. I've said, talk to people about patience. They go, don't talk to me about that. My wife got on to me one time for praying for patience and holding her hand, and she got it too. She wasn't happy about that. But when we as Christians start understanding that in Galatians it talks about fruits of the Spirit, it talks about love and joy and peace and patience and long-suffering and meekness. But that's what we're going to talk about, one of the fruits of the Spirit, and that's patience. So, in my research, it said that the early church, the people in the early church, they called patience the queen of all virtues. They said that if you could have this one virtue, which we know now is the fruit, one of the fruits of the Spirit, if we could have this one thing, that you could survive anything that comes against you. Let me say that again. They thought that if you had this one virtue, which, like I said, we know it's fruit of the Spirit, you could survive anything. These are people that I just talked about that saw people thrown to the lions, had their heads cut off, all kinds of things that we don't ever see. And they talk about patience. Wow. One thing that we have to learn is that faith and patience are partners. Because while you're having faith, you have to have patience in order for the faith to work. So you have to have faith while you have faith. You have to have faith while you wait for your faith. Amen? That's right. So, in the dictionary, the word faith says bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, pain. And see, I think that's what a lot of people, honestly, when you talk about patience, oh, that pains me to be patient. I won't. I mean, we live in a world like that right now, don't we? I mean, with the telephone, with your cell phone. I mean, oh my Lord. You immediately. You know, they're probably going to come out with a phone that can cook a pizza before long. And you just have a pizza right there on your phone and you don't even have to call anybody. You don't have to go pick it up or have it delivered. But if you look at our society, that's what you're seeing, what people expect. That's not patience, y'all. That's not one of the fruits of the Spirit. In the Greek, the word is hupomone, which the Holy Spirit wanted me to use this. Definition. Thank you. Endurance. However, it also says cheerful endurance. Amen? Well, if we learn to look at patience, it's not about, I've got to wait for something. Well, I'm going to tell you what. When you start thinking that way, you watch. Every time you go to the grocery store or you go somewhere, you're going to have to stand in line. And then you're going to get to the line. The checker doesn't know what they're doing. And you're really going to have to stand in line. And I'm telling y'all from experience, okay? Or the traffic backs up. So, and I read one. Rick Renner wrote this. He calls it the hang in there power. Oh, it's so cool. The hang in there. Because there's times when you don't want to be cheerful. And you really don't want to hang in there. But that means to be cheerful when we go through junk. And when we're dealing with patience, it talks about growing us up. We have to have patience as Christians in order to grow up. I mean, we'll never grow up if we don't have patience and learn the Word. It's like your kid. We know a lot of y'all have kids. Or you had little kids. We had the grandkids yesterday. All day and the night before. And so most of y'all know little Celie. And So we went to the store yesterday, and she wanted a toy. Well, y'all know us. They mind, they learn, they earn, they whatever. So Lolly says, okay, but you're going to have to work for the money. She's 5. What I got to do? You got to help clean. Well, I already helped do something. Nope, doesn't count. So we went to the store, and we got that toy, and we got home. And Lolly said, we got to clean. Oh, no, I want to open that. No. What we're doing is we're growing our grandbaby up. And as Christians, we have to learn to do the same thing. We have to have those patience of right now versus down the road. We have to understand that it may not be right now. When we're talking about healing, we know that God does miracles. He does them every day. If you pray for healing, and you don't get healed tomorrow, but you're healed in 2 years, are you still healed? Is it still a miracle? God still does miracles. Amen? Because people go, well, it took 2 years. You're healed. Amen? That's what you've been believing for. That's what you've been praying for. That's what you've had other people pray for you for. So why don't you accept that God kept His word? Cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance. Hebrews, y'all found it? Say amen. Hebrews 10:36. Verse 36. Y'all found it? Sorry. Verse 36. For ye have need of patience. Everybody say need. Everybody together say need. That's a little better. It's okay, y'all. You'll get it. You'll get patience. Because we need to change that word, patience, to cheerful endurance. When you read that, for ye have need of cheerful endurance. Say amen. Amen. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Woo, Jesus. Amen. So if we learn how to have cheerful endurance, and we're doing the will of God, and we've been doing the will of God, we're going to get that promise, y'all. That promise. And what we were talking about earlier, verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. In other words, he's coming, and he's coming at his appointed time. Amen? We have to cheerfully endure during that time. When we talk about having cheerful endurance, everybody talks about, oh, who had cheerful endurance in the Bible? Who had patience? Most people says Job. Job had patience. Man, you should have the patience of Job. Guess who you should have the patience of? Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Adam was made ready to go to work. Jesus wasn't. Jesus was in the womb. And get this, y'all. How would you deal with this? At 12 years old, he knew his calling. He knew the end. And yet, he didn't rush anything. He studied as a carpenter up until he was 30 years old. But he knew at 12 years old that he was about his father's calling, about his father's will. And so then at 30 years, he still knew what was going to happen. that he was going to die on that cross for us, y'all. I don't know about y'all, but I would call that, and I don't ever know of anybody that it where it said in there that he just threw fits. You know? Cheerful endurance. He loved on people. He loved on people. So when we start getting in the midst of things, we have to learn how to look at it in a different way. And if you'll notice something real quick, because I very rarely look at my notes, but I looked then and it showed me something. If you look down a couple of verses to chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen." Well, that means we must have to have cheerful endurance in order to see that. Amen? To see that come to pass. That our faith, just like what we talked about, faith and patience are partners. They're partners. Okay, flip over to James. Y'all knew we were going there, didn't you? Some of y'all could have guessed, probably. James chapter 1. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. You are so good. So good. Everybody found it? Okay. James 1, we're going to start in verse 2. And I'm going to read this, and I'm going to read it in a different translation. Verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he was wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." I want to read this to y'all in the Passion. And I'll have to be honest, because this is my wife's Bible. And when the Passion first came out, I got her one because she really wanted one and she loves it. And ladies, please don't, because I'm admitting this, I need to. Because the translation first came out, and I don't know if it's just the cover or what, but I thought it was kind of girly. You know, and I mean, I know God's Word is not girly. But you know, and that was one of those just like, I don't really, you know, and some of the verses were kind of flowery for me, you know, because we all relate to different translation. You know, we read out of the King James where it's thus and thou, and so this gets a little flowery for me, used to. But you know what? God showed me it ain't flowery. There's some good stuff. So I'm going to read to you. Listen to this. Starts in verse 2. "My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity." Oh, time out. So when you're thinking about, oh, the King James talks about going through a trial, a tribulation, you're being tempted, and that's just gunk. But here they're telling us, an invaluable opportunity. Oh, opportunity for what? I'm glad you ask. To experience the greatest joy that you can. Oh, amen. So first of all, when we start going through something, how do you go through it? Like you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. I'm serious. You think I'm kidding. When you have something so big, you start praying. And you do one step at a time. I will tell you a little secret. If you quit in the middle of that, and you go off and then you decide to come back to it, guess where you're at? Right where you were before. When we start looking at what we've wound up in, we should know God's going to do something good with it. So this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to choose how we're going to go through it. Do we pray to God, "Oh, please get me out of this"? What is that? Because if you ask God, "God, show me how I'm supposed to go through this." Now see, whoa, wait a minute. We're changing the way that we're thinking, because patience grows us up. So when we're in the midst of that, and you start going, "Okay, wait, God, okay, we're in this, you know, how do I get through this? Show me the first step. Come on, God." And He will. He'll show you that first step. And He'll show you the second step. If you're willing. If you're willing. All right, listen on. "For you know that when your faith is tested..." So we're in that middle of that whatever. We'll call it the invaluable opportunity. I like that. You know, whoever thought of when you went through a bad situation that it could be an invaluable opportunity? But it changes your mindset. It grows your mind to start looking at, okay, this is a great opportunity for me to go through, to learn, to grow as a Christian. And I'm going to use God, and He's going to use me because I'm here. And I know He will get me through this. He's going to show me how to get through this. Amen? It stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. Woo! That's that growing up part, y'all. That's that refining process. That's that God knocking those chips off of you. That's that, "Come on, Ricky, you can do it. You're called to minister." Even when Ricky's saying no, he wasn't. But I said, "God, what am I supposed to do?" He said, "You're supposed to minister. Do what I told you to do." Okay. I don't know what to do. God showed me. And Pastor Corey. I've had a wonderful spiritual father to teach me. To pray over me. Because we all need prayer. But you see, that's that growing up as Christians, as a maturing as Christians. See, it's like I was talking about Celie. Laurie never let her off the hook. She had the vacuum cleaner, bigger than she was, and she's in there vacuuming that bathroom. Man, I'm telling you, then she mopped the floor. And then she got her little nail kit, and she was just happy as she could be. Amen? That's learning that we have to go through a process. So if you've done your kids that way, then why shouldn't you be done that way? I don't mean that in a bad way, that, oh, you've been, you know what. But with God, we've got to learn how to mature as Christians. It's what we've been preaching here. It's what Pastor Corey's been preaching here. He preaches at the end times. Well, if it's the end times, then y'all, I say that if, and you know what I mean, because, you know, there's people that go, "Oh, well, he said if." The end times, we better grow up. And He's been talking about it to us. It's time to mature as Christians. So when you're in something, look at it as an invaluable opportunity to cheerfully endure. It changes the whole perspective of what you're in. Because if you stop and think back to things that you've believed for, prayed for, God's gotten you through that mess, He'll get you through it again. And we forget. Don't we? I mean, it's like, because right at that time is what's most important. It's like, "Oh my Lord, I want it now." But that's not what it's about. There's a reason that we have to go through an invaluable opportunity so we can learn to be cheerful endurers. I don't know if that's a word, but I'll read on. "And if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom, and He will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures. See, our God is so wonderful. You know? And I probably need a good scolding every once in a while. You know, because there's times when, you know, God, you could just go ahead because I know I deserve it. He said, it's okay. Ask for forgiveness and move on. What an awesome God. Amen? Man, I tell you what. And he will... If anyone longs to be wise and ask God for wisdom, he will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace. He's going to bless them, y'all. He's going to bless you. He'll bless you. It's what I always say. He'll bless your socks off. Just make sure you ask empowered by, listen to this, confident faith. Confident faith without doubting that you'll receive it. So when you ask, you have to believe, which is your faith, and then you have to have its partner of cheerful enduring until it comes to pass. See, sometimes we get caught up in that invaluable opportunity and we go, I'm done. It's not happening fast enough for me. Amen? I have to give you all a praise. This fits perfect in my sermon. Most of y'all know, Laurie and I have been here 7 years. Last month. No. Anyway, eight, I don't know. When we moved down, the economy was terrible in Branson. And we're originally from West Texas. We got to come back to Texas. The economy was terrible. We have a house in Branson. We've had it. We still have it. Kinda. 2 or 3 years ago, Ricky's tired of dealing with it. I don't want to be a landlord anymore. You can say I was not cheerfully enduring. Every time they saw that number pop up, I'm like, oh gosh, what's broke now? It's a great house. I mean, it's beautiful. And not just because we were just, God blessed us at the time with the, I wish I could pick that house up and bring it here because it's a great house. When we tried to sell it, kind of, when we first moved down, the market, the house was $30,000 or $40,000, $50,000 less than what we paid for it. Value. It's like, golly. So we said, okay, God, we trust you. I not have a job. I'm coming to do music at Cowboy Church. I believe. I have faith. Laurie had gotten a job, moved down. 2 or 3 months, we paid rent. And a mortgage payment. Woohoo! That's fun. If y'all haven't done it, you ought to try it. At least 1 month and then be done with it. And honestly, it was a week. We were in Casper. And I can tell you exactly where we were. We were in Casper, Wyoming, at the Mexican food restaurant where we always eat with Corey. And my phone rang, and it was the leasing company I turned it over to, and they got somebody to lease it. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Because that hurt, you know? So we've rocked on here for since then till now. Well, a few years ago, one of the tenants wanted to buy it, and they offered me about $37,000 less than what, gone up a little bit, $37,000 less than what we paid for it. No, I don't talk to the manager, and she said, you know, Ricky, it's worth more than that. So I've been hearing things and seeing things. So I call her 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I said, what do you think? Let's list that house. I said, I've been seeing things. Let's list that house. She said, okay, well, let me do some comps in the area. And she said that we'll go from there. Okay. So the week that we had been to the minister's conference, we were leaving, we're staying the night in a hotel somewhere. And the phone rings, and it's her. And I'm like, oh, gosh. So I answer it. And she goes, she was excited. And this lady never really gets that excited. And she said, Ricky, my daughter and I went and walked your house. And we're going to list it for, they listed it for $47,000 more than what we paid for it at the time. Okay, that was about 9 or 10 days ago. So we hadn't heard nothing. She called me on Wednesday this week and said, I'm having knee surgery tomorrow. So if, you know, we had some people look at it and they say they're going to put an offer on it, but, you know, they'll call you. And so sure enough, Friday morning, I got a call. They full asking price. They called me on Friday and told me. Amen. Isn't that something? Now see, and we hadn't signed a contract yet because they were showing it to two or three other people yesterday, and so she's wanting to wait till Monday to see if we get a little bid more going on. Everybody say amen to that. Had I given in 2 years ago, I'd have lost money. But we said no. You know, and that's something that we have done since we've been here and been in the ministry, is we've done what we've been taught. We have cheerfully endured things, sometime with a little kicking, but we did. And look at that. Amen. You see, when we go through things, He will bless us. If we're doing His will, and that's what Laurie and I are doing, is His will. Because I tried it the other way, and it's not fun, y'all. It's not fun doing Ricky's will. It don't work near as good. Trust me. We're doing God's will. And when you learn to cheerfully endure through invaluable opportunities, everybody say opportunity. Man, He's got it. God has you. He's got the whole of you. He will take care of you. He proves it every day. Amen? All right, so let's start closing. You know, we were talking about having the patience of Jesus. And you hear people say, I can't do that. How do you do that? How do you be like? Well, the Bible says we're supposed to be like Jesus. Jesus Himself said that we're supposed to do the same works He did. Only, we're supposed to do greater works than He did because He goes unto the Father. So stop and think about what we've talked about. You're here for this appointed time because God has faith in us. He has confidence in us. He put us here because He knows we're up to the challenge. That we, as we grow and as we mature, then we learn that we can do those things that Jesus did. If we believe, if we allow our faith to work, we can do those things. Do you have that faith? Do you have that belief? Go through those things. Don't ask for, well, just let me out of it. No. God, what are You showing me in this invaluable opportunity? What do You want me to grow, and how do You want me to grow through this opportunity? And you know what, God? I may not have done it before, and I repent for that, but I'm doing it cheerfully this time. Amen? Because He loves that. He loves for you to say, you know what, God? I'm going to do it cheerfully because I love You and You've been so good to me. That's not near as hard as it sounds, is it? Or it sounds harder than it is. Y'all think about that. You see, the Word, I heard this, I was listening to a sermon last week. The Word is simple. The Word is simple. And some people will tell you it's not easy. But when you give yourself 100% to God, it becomes easy, y'all. It becomes easy. Because as you, if you're truly giving yourself 100% to the Lord, then that craving is there. That craving of, oh wow, Lord, thank You. Thank You. Thank You for using me. Or just thank You for showing me where I'm supposed to be and who I'm supposed to be around. And when I get in a situation, I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to go, oh, what do I do? What do I do? Help me. No. I'm going to say, God, I got a little situation here. We need to talk. What do I need to know to get through this? Amen? And I heard it. I don't know who. I heard. I wish I could remember who it was. It's as simple. Well, that was a good sermon you did that day. He's talking about fixing his water leaks. It's something as simple as fixing a water leak, y'all. God cares about all of that, but we don't give God enough credit. You know, we don't give God enough that says, I love You, I'm for You 1,000%, and You come to me with anything. You come to me if you jab your finger. You come to me. I tell you what, it gets a lot better when you hit yourself, your knee on a trailer hitch. If you'll say, oh, Jesus, instead of cuss. Because it goes away a lot quicker. I've tried both. Amen? It goes away a lot quicker. So why don't you start getting to where you say that out of your mouth? How do I get through this? Number one, first thing I want you to get. We're closing. This is my second close. First thing is attitude. Man, you got to fix your attitude. Your wife or husband can't fix your attitude. They think they can. Well, and it makes you, well, I don't know. You probably can. Helps. We ain't going to go there either. I'm not looking over that way. When you're in that situation, fix your attitude. Amen? Quit moaning and whining and complaining. Get your attitude right. Cheerful. Cheerful. So when that hits tomorrow morning, when it's Monday, because I don't even know what day it is anymore, other than that I'm told I'm preaching here or I'm playing here, or, you know, we're doing music. Days run together anymore. But people always talk about how bad Monday is. Why don't you fix that? So tomorrow, we'll call that an invaluable opportunity in the morning. Why don't you start with a cheerful attitude? Amen? Yeah. Number two, don't quit. Don't quit. Because if you quit, it's what we talked about. If you quit and you go back to it, you're still in the same place you were when you started. Amen? Get on through it. Go on through it. Number three, cast your cares upon the Lord. That's what He's there for. He tells us that. He made us. He knows what we can stand and what we can't hold. And His yoke is light. He says, take my yoke. Throw these. Give me this. You give me all this. Because my yoke is light. That's what I want. How about y'all? You tired of the junk going on today? Practice these three things this week. And you'll have a lighter, lighter, lighter time. Amen? Have you had a good time this morning? God's so good. Thank you, Father. Well, one thing that we do here at Cowboy Church is, for the new folks that are here and everybody that knows, is our church is about people getting saved. Because that's the first step. And so we give an opportunity to somebody, everybody, every Sunday and everywhere we minister. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're going to have you say this prayer and say it out loud. We're not going to have you come down to the front, but we're going to have you say it out loud, and we're going to have the believers that sit around you say it with us, because they need to get it in their hearts so that we can go out and lead people to the Lord. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I ask you right now, please make it today. Oh my, what a glorious day that you accept Jesus as your Savior today. That you're saved, and you're saved from hell, because there is a heaven and a hell. The Word says, and it's not, God cannot lie. It's true. It's the truth. So right now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, we're going to say this prayer, and I want you to repeat after me, and I want all you believers to say it with us. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I thank you for invaluable opportunities. I thank you for your patience. Father, I thank you today is my God day, and that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name. Now, before we lift our head, anybody lifts your heads, please keep them down. But if you just said that prayer and you just accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, on the count of three, I just want you to stick your hand up real quick, put it right back down. We're going to get you a Bible. And so, we're not going to make you do anything with you. But the Word says that if you acknowledge me before man, I'll acknowledge you before the Father. So on the count of three, if you just said that prayer and you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, I want you to stick your hand up real quick. One, two, three. Anybody? Anybody? Thank you, Lord. Be bold. It's all right. Thank you, Lord. All right, y'all look at me. All right, so we have a job then. As believers, it's our job to go out and get people to church. Y'all, it's our church. We need to get people in here and we need to get more people saved. That's our mission. Y'all good? Come on up, howdy. We got the fuzzy one.
Like there's a tennis ball in the front of this thing. Black tennis ball.
I'm going to sit by you.
For all you people that aren't sound people, this is to keep the spit off, right? Because we preachers like to spit. Would y'all please give Ricky another hand? So thankful for him. You know, I love hearing you guys, ministers. I get so much revelation. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, how many of y'all have ever been through something? Hello. I don't know if anybody couldn't raise their hand on that one, right? And I was sitting there thinking, you know, when you were talking about being patient, there's one thing that I was really getting revelation on is when you're going through something, it is common for man to always assume that the results are always going to be this. They're always going to be bad. Well, all right, well, we're going through this. Well, I guess this is going to, you know, the first time you ever get a letter for a repo, you know, you're getting your car repoed or getting a house repoed, you automatically just assume, well, it's over. It's it. You know, they're coming to get it. When God's intervening, the results are not like that. When you start believing, being patient, the results are not the same as the world's. And man, you've got to believe that the results are... Am I preaching again? Are you about to come up here and say something else?
I could get in trouble if I don't.
Go ahead.
Mike, would you... Yeah, he turned it on. So during tithes and offerings, the Lord just moving me, and I didn't do something, and I don't want to get in trouble for it. And I will. So, as most of you know, the kids' church is finished. Amen? Come on, y'all. We've been believing with that for a long time. And we're believing for the covered arena, and it's off to a great start, by the way. But what we are believing for is, Pastor Corey said it a few weeks ago, that we're believing for 30 people to at least give $10,000 apiece. Now, that doesn't say that if you don't have $10,000, you can't give. Amen? Because every bit adds up, right? But that'll help get a real good start, and it's starting to come in, y'all. Amen? So that one thing when I said about the kids' church too being already done, there's still occasionally some that give to the kids' church building fund. Well, that's already done. Okay? So now you'll know that if you want to move it somewhere else, you can. But, y'all, that is a heck of a ministry. This one out here, we have, for those of you who don't know, monthly play days. We have people renting it. We have people using it. And that's for the church. That's a ministry in itself. And so this covered arena is going to give the church an even bigger stage to minister to people. Because as you know, 50 or 60, 70 days of rain we've had, there's a lot of people would have rented that sucker. Right? And that blesses the church. We're able to minister to people because of that. So be sure, and if God puts it on your heart, to give to that. Because His seed will come back 30, 60, 100 fold. Exactly. Amen?
All right. So if you've been going here for, you know, a short period of time, and you don't know, this whole place, and we've done this through patience, and then Corey is... a long time ago said, I am not borrowing, and I don't blame him. I wouldn't either. You know, and we've never borrowed on this place. Everything you see happening here is debt-free. This building's debt-free. This concrete that's paid for, we just got refinished. The chairs you sit in, this building, the AC, the electrical, all debt-free. And everything, I mean, that takes some major patience to wait and to wait and to wait and see God grow and to grow. And it grows us, having to wait patiently for all that stuff to happen. But I'm telling you, when you do it God's way, it doesn't look like the world. I'm telling you, when you go through something, be patient and look for God. God will talk to you and he'll give you little, I mean, it might be one word and God's telling you, listen to this one word, research this one word, and then you'll get this whole major revelation on it. But if there's one thing that's going to make you impatient, it's a cell phone. Amen. You hit a little button, you're trying to get to a certain website and you can't get there because the phone ain't moving fast enough or the Wi-Fi ain't moving. Them things are a blessing and a curse. I'm telling you right now. Love the technology, but man, when they ain't moving fast enough, you get impatient. The other day, I got to tell y'all a funny story. I am not leaving here till I tell y'all this story. This is the funniest thing. The other day, we got a little dog, and sometimes it poops in the floor. So there was a spot on the floor, and it was right under my feet, and I couldn't tell if it was mud or poop, like smeared poop. Dogs, they don't care. They poop in the floor, then they step in it. They don't care. So I was like, all right, Jet, is this poop or is this mud? I told my son. He goes, I don't know. And I said, all right, let me get my smeller app out and let's see. And I put it down there next to it. I was like, nope, it's poop. He goes, he starts looking on his phone. He starts looking for the same app. He goes, there's a smeller app? And I was walking away just laughing. He's like, I was getting my phone out. I didn't know there was a smeller app. Hey, I'm a middle school teacher. I get away with all kinds. I can tell you guys, if y'all ever want to sit down one time, just let me know. I can tell you some stories. Oh man, he was looking through his phone for a smeller app, and I was like, I'm just kidding, man. There's no such thing. But who knows? If you guys think of a smeller app, y'all let me know. We're gonna make some money. Hey, most of y'all know Corey's traveling. This is Corey's travel time, so he's going to be here off and on quite a bit. I don't even know where he's at now. Right now, he's on his way to Oregon. Yeah, long. Yeah, he's flying up there. He's traveling a lot. So you're going to see, ministers, coming in and preach, quite a bit. So if you want to bless Ricky before you get out of here today, if you haven't turned in your tithes and offerings, the buckets on the sides are for tithes and offerings. But if you'd like to give to Ricky, this bucket right here is specifically for him. So he doesn't take a salary here. So if you'd like to bless him, just make it out to Ricky Bowen, right? Ricky Bowen Ministries. If you want to write a check, if you want a tax receipt, please get an envelope. We'll put your address on there and put it in here. He'll get you a tax receipt at the end of the year. So if you'd like to do that, please come give after we're done. Is there any other funny stories we need to tell before we get out of here? I dare y'all to come up with one funnier than the smeller app. All right, y'all stand to your feet and let's get out of here. Y'all be patient this week, okay, guys? We got volcanoes erupting. We got possibilities of war going on. Just hang in there, guys. It's only getting better for us. It only gets better for us. See, we know the end of the... Isn't that great to know? We know the author, and yes, we know the end of the story. So let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, we love you. Thank you for a wonderful day. Thank you for patience, Lord. Thank you for giving us the endurance, the long-suffering, Lord. When things aren't going our way, Lord, we just hang in there. Because we know there is a reward for those who can hang in there. So Lord, we look forward to your coming. We look forward to our redemption. We look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We look forward to the rapture. We look forward to heaven that you have established and designed and built specifically for us in heaven, Lord. We look forward to that when the time gets here, Lord. But we are so patiently waiting. We know this whole world is patiently waiting for you. So Lord, we thank you for patience. Give us the ability to make it through the week. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us wherever we go. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. A big round of applause. We'll see you later.